Very conveniently, I'm preaching on Galatians chapter 5. I have had this sermon ready for a few weeks, just in case I needed it while Seven was on paternity leave. But he didn't, and now it's in order, which is brilliant. So a few weeks ago when Seven was speaking on Galatians 3, he was talking about how we can't do things on our own. And I panicked for a minute because I thought he was about to steal my sermon. But he didn't, so it was all good. But he did speak about how we can't do things on our own and how we look to Jesus and we ask him for help. So today I want to spend a little bit of time looking at the way that that help comes to us and what we depend on in our lives to get us through the day. So following Seven's tradition, I've got a few questions for you. Can you live without caffeine? Good, I hear some yeses. Can you be cheerful and ignore your aches and pains? Can you resist complaining? Can you take criticism and blame without resentment? Can you resist treating a rich friend better than a poor friend? Oh, we've got a PowerPoint. Can you face the world without lies and deceit? I'm going to go down then to the right one. Caffeine, aches and pains, complaining. Keep going. There we go. Can you conquer tension without medical help? Can you relax without alcohol? Can you sleep without the aid of drugs? Can you resist temptation? And can you honestly say, deep down in your heart, that you have no prejudice against creed, colour, religion, gender preference, or politics? Now, I don't think that many of us could honestly say yes to all those questions, but I think deep down, a lot of us would like to. And that's one of the reasons we need help. And that's one of the reasons we need the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus sends to us when we ask him for help. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity, and he's been around from the beginning of time. We read in Genesis 1 that he hovered over the surface of the deep, and we have records of him being involved in the lives of certain people all through the Old Testament. For example, in Numbers we read, the Lord said, take Joseph, son of Nun, who has the Spirit in him. Judges, and then the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. Again in Judges, and this time about Samson. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. And though that's just a few, there are many, many more. He was also involved in the birth of Jesus. Mary tells us that Jesus didn't become pregnant. Mary became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes to us when we become Christians, when we realise that we don't want to live without God in our lives anymore, when we say to God that we believe in him, that we're sorry for what we've done, when we ask him to forgive us and make us his. God knows that we're not able to live our life on our own without help, so he sends us his Holy Spirit. So one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to help us, as I've said, live our life in a way that pleases God. And the passage that we read in Galatians provides us with a whole list of things that we might start to do if we're not listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And this list includes sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. So you can see, the list is pretty much endless. So I'd like you, if you let me, to tell you a story that will demonstrate, hopefully, how easy it is to fall into these things when you don't listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So this story is about me. So once upon a time, there was a little girl. I'm going to call her Beth. She was brought up in a Christian home, and I became a Christian at a young age. I was cute back then, though. And so I became a Christian very early on. And I was brought up following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I knew how to listen to him. When I was 18, I left home and moved away to do my nursing training. Shortly after this, I met a guy. Wasn't stories always start with a guy? Basically, I like this guy, so I sent him a Valentine's card, after which he asked me out. Now, while I was waiting, getting ready for my date, and waiting to go out, I very clearly heard God say to me through the Holy Spirit, "Don't go on this date." Now, I was only 18, I thought I knew better. And besides, I've made the first move. It would be really embarrassing if I turned him down now. So I went on this date. And that was the start of 12 of the worst years of my life. I fell in love with this guy, I moved in with him, and I let him take over my life. I was never physically abused, but I was very definitely emotionally abused. I was manipulated, I was made to feel useless and fat, and trust me, as you can see, I was a lot skinnier then than I am now. Most of my friends were driven away. My parents were hurt and disappointed in me. I turned my back on a God I loved and had served up until that point, and I experimented with drugs. So that one tiny little act of disobedience, of ignoring the prompting of the Holy Spirit, resulted in 12 years of a life that was really damaging to me. And what does verse 19 say that the results of following your sinful nature are? Sexual immorality. Yep, tick that box. Impurity. Yep. Lustful pleasures. Yep, if I wanted it, I did it. Hostility. Well, lots of arguments with him, with my friends, for some reason didn't like him, with my parents. And all the list, that whole list that we read out before, I ticked most of those boxes at some point of time over the 12 years that I spent with him. And all because I refused to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit before that first date. It doesn't matter how good our intentions are. It is possible to live the life that God wants us to live on our own. We need help. We can really want to. We can try really hard. We can dedicate large parts of our life to trying. But we are limited. There are limits to what we can manage on our own. We need help. We can learn what is right and wrong according to our upbringing or our surroundings. Our conscience can help us to a certain point. And we can manage a good bit of self-control over what others see, over what we portray to other people. But trying to control what we think and what we feel about certain things is virtually impossible. We need help. When we face desires that arise from inside us, and when the thoughts that we have are filled with temptation, then our own human abilities, our character traits, and our best intentions can only take us so far, regardless of how good they are. Think about someone like King David. He was described as a man after God's own heart, and even he couldn't manage a life of complete victory over sin. When it came to his own desires and his lust for Bathsheba, he couldn't overcome them. These lusts and desires turned him into an adulterer and a murderer. The fact of the matter is, we all have a corrupt human nature, full of lusts and desires that strive against God's will. We need help. When Jesus was on earth, he promised us that after his departure, he would send us help, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So when we need help, we have the Holy Spirit. And that is the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit, to give us power and to help us totally overcome sin. That's something that's completely impossible with our own human nature. Romans 8, verses 1 to 17, tells us this. I can't read that, I was going to read it on the screen. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That is why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those that do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life, because you have been made right with God.
Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living in you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But through the power of the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of your sinful nature. You will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Holy Spirit has many things to tell us. He gives us strength, help, comfort and guidance. By obeying him, we can live the faithful life that we all long for. We can have communication with God and always be in tune with his voice. So how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? Well, I believe it's different for everyone. Have you ever had a conversation or an argument with yourself in your head? Maybe about whether or not you should eat that last donut, or whether you can put off walking the dog because it's pouring with rain. I talk to myself quite a lot, and sometimes it's just me talking, but sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. And it takes a lot of practice to know which is which. Sometimes I don't always get it right. There have been a few times in my life when I've had a very clear message and I've known it was him. The time I described already was one of them. Then there was the time he told me to go for a particular job. The time I had to stay in the church I was in until the new minister arrived. The time he told me I was coming here with Seven and Charity. And then, most recently, the time he told me I was going to be a minister. And there are others that I haven't mentioned. Some too personal for me to share here. But if you want to know more, come see me afterwards. Other times, it might be what you call a gut feeling. You know something just doesn't feel right. You know something isn't the right thing to do. I trust this feeling a lot, because I know I have a God that cares for me. He looks out for me. In the same way, I know something is not right because I feel uneasy about it. If there's something that I'm doing that's not in line with God's plan for me, I will have a really sick feeling in my stomach. I can and have ignored it. But deep down, I'm aware of it, and it only goes away when I stop doing the thing that I'm not supposed to be doing. A recent example of this is when I was choosing a lodger. I met and heard from a few people, and although they seemed like very nice people, I felt uneasy about and nauseous about the thought of inviting them to live in my house. Then I met Deborah, who is currently my lodger, and it just felt right. So I knew at that point that she was the right person to move in. Other people hear from God and the Holy Spirit in different ways, maybe through dreams or visions, through the Bible. I'm sure that if you ask, there will be many people in this room who will be willing to share with you how God talks to them. And like many things, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. The more time you spend in prayer and studying God's word, the easier it becomes to distinguish God's voice. And if you're not sure that it is God asking you to do something, then it's okay to test it. Satan is very clever at tempting us in ways that might sound like it might be something that God would say. So test it. Ask another Christian, someone you trust to pray for you, and see what God says to them. In the story of Gideon in the Old Testament, Gideon said to God, "If you're truly going to use me to rescue Israel, then prove it to me like this. I'm going to put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight. If the fleece is wet in the morning, but the ground is dry, I will know it's you." So that's what he did, and when he got up in the morning, the fleece was wet and the ground was dry. But Gideon still wasn't 100% convinced. So he said again, "Please to God, please don't be angry, but let me make one more request. Let me use the fleece for one more test. This time, let the fleece remain dry while the ground is wet." And in the morning, it was. So if you're really not sure that what you're being told is something that God's saying to you, then lay out your own fleece. Test God. I'm sure he would much rather be tested than that you followed something that was wrong. If we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and learn to listen to him, to follow his instruction, then the list of things in verses 22 and 23 become ours. Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm sure that somebody wrote a hymn about that. We will find these things happening in our lives without us having to make them. Maybe there's someone at work that you find difficult to deal with, and week after week you have to dig deep to find the patience to just be around them. When we learn to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that patience is easier to come by. And if you start to feel low, just ask the Holy Spirit for a top-up. And aren't these much better things to have in our life than the earlier list? Even if everything in our life is going wrong, we can still have these things through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. If we look back at our reading, we can see that it's not always easy. Verse 16 says, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing just what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So the only way that we can truly live lives that God wants us to live is with help. And the Holy Spirit is that help. Another job of the Holy Spirit is to be an intercessor between us and God. He takes what God wants us to know and tells us in ways that we understand, like that gut feeling. And he also takes our prayers to God. Romans 8 tells us the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all and hears all, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads with us believers in harmony with God's will. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps us to talk to God is through the gift of tongues. When we pray using tongues, we don't have to think of the right words. The Holy Spirit knows what we want to say and says it for us. Have you ever been trying to pray, but your heart has been so full of emotion, you can't find the right words? Or something terrible has happened, and you can't even begin to think of what to say? That's when the Holy Spirit will help you. You can pray in tongues, and he will give you the words that you need. My Christian friend at work told me this story. She'd gone trampolining with some of our customers, had landed funny on one of the trampolines and broke her ankle. She was there with another member of staff, and one of them stayed with her while she was waiting for the ambulance to arrive. A few weeks later, when she was back at work, he said to her, "What was that language you were speaking? It sounded familiar." Now, my friend had been asking God to help her with the pain. But as the pain was very bad, she hadn't had the words. All she could do was rely on the Holy Spirit to speak to God for her, to tell him what she needed. And apparently the language that she had chosen, that he had chosen to do this, had words very similar to the Iranian staff member's native tongue. My friend couldn't find the words, so the Holy Spirit did it for her. I want to allow us some time now to focus on the Holy Spirit, to listen to him, maybe have a chat with him. We will have a few minutes of silence, then I'm going to play the worship song, "Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here." While that is playing, you can stand and sing, you can continue to sit and talk to God and the Holy Spirit. For some of you, this might not be a new experience, but if there is anyone for whom this is a new experience and you would like some help, I'm going to go and stand at the back of the church. And if you would like more of the Holy Spirit in your life, if you would like me to pray for you, then come and join me.